it for? Is that what you want to know? You want to know what this is all about? Is that it, Gelfling? You don't know? You've never looked at the heavens. Everything in the heavens is here, moving as the heavens move. This is how to know when. That's what. Suns, moons, stars, yes, the angle of eternity. That's how I know it's coming. How else can I make the prediction? 1,000 years ago, there was a great conjunction. I was there. 3 suns lined up. That's when the crystal cracked. That's when the Skeksis appeared. And the mystics. Another great conjunction coming up. Anything could happen. The whole world might burn up. End of Augra. Better have your shard before that, Gelfling. Now, ask what the Great Conjunction is. What's the Great Conjunction?
What's the Great Conjunction? You tell me.
The Great Conjunction is the end of the world! Or the beginning? End, begin, all the same. Big change.
10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
We're gonna stay here all night if we have to, so let's get started.
Can I go when this starts to suck?
Suicide, it's a suicide. Suicide, it's a suicide. Suicide, it's a suicide.
My mother's personal library had over 1,000 books. And her bedroom closet was cluttered with guns. And she helped raise her first grandson with a switch and a message. Her patience was not to be tested. A nurse who taught 2 languages and expected her progeny to excel. Quick to tell you, tough titty, raised 4 children by moving back and forth between southern and northern cities, told my mother, no way. Yeah, you and that baby can move in, but ain't no grown man moving into my house on no day. No pity. The bosom was warm, but the gangster was gritty. Pretty girl, piano player, singer, matriarch, cared for her parents for years while secretly dying of cancer, but still never let anything tear her family apart. My grandmother, Eula English, was my heart. My mother's mother was a school teacher. A black woman with a college degree in the 1930s and 40s, long before these underachievers came up with excuses, would do whatever she had to do to make sure her descendants didn't end up shiftless and useless, use candy to motivate the children in the neighborhood to study the Bible because she believed that that was where the truth is. Ruthless when disrespected, connected nouns and verbs to put your self-concept in check, could be expected to rip your ego apart. Named after a city in Texas, my great-grandmother, Galveston McNeil, was my heart. My mother's mother was a rider, type to show up inside her son-in-law's living room and just take over, tell him, look, I'm like a general and I raised my daughter to only roll with soldiers. Born in 1882, transcended 3 years before my start, famous for lighting cigarettes and putting men in their places, my great-great-grandmother Sarah Giss was my heart. My father's mother was a social worker, a black woman with a college degree in the 1950s who bought a house for her siblings and her parents and raised her children to either get educated or get busy. Told her husband, look, if I'm going on a vacation, you could best believe my grandson is always coming with me. Comprehended. Told my mother, if anybody steps to my grandchild and gets knocked out, never punish him if he gets suspended. Just ask him how it'd start. My paternal grandmother, Flora Acey, was my heart. And my mother is a black nationalist with a master's degree in mathematics who's been programming computers since before they had keyboards. I'm talking punch cards. And didn't care about my roughhousing in the street, but if I ever disrespected her, I got punched hard. And then hit with switches till I blacked out like them computer glitches. And if I came home with B's, she would make me study more to ensure I get the picture. Like tons of megapixels, she developed me to be sharp. Still my favorite person in the world, my mother, Jacqueline Acey, is my heart. I'm a father to my son, and I've been one since the beginning. But every advantage I've ever given him has been the product of 5 women.
Supposing that I say to you, each one of you is really the great self, you know, the Brahman. And you say, well, all you've said up till now makes me fairly sympathetic to this intellectually. But I don't really feel it. What must I do to feel it really? My answer to you is this. You ask me that question because you don't want to feel it really. You're frightened of it. And therefore, what you're going to do is you're going to get a method of practice so that you can put it off. So that I can say, well, I can be a long time on the way getting this thing. And then maybe I'll be worthy of it after I have suffered enough. See, because we are brought up in a social scheme whereby we have to deserve what we get. And the price that one pays for all good things is suffering. But all of that is precisely postponement. Because one is afraid here and now to see it. If you had the nerve, you know, real nerve, you would see it right away. Only that would be, you know, when one feels you shouldn't have nerve like that. Why, that would be awful. That would be, that wouldn't do at all. Because after all, I'm supposed to be poor little me. And I'm not really much of a muchness. And I'm playing the role of being poor little me. And therefore, in order to be something great, like a Buddha or a Jivanmukta, one liberated in this life, I ought to suffer for it. So you can suffer for it. There are all kinds of ways invented for you to do this. And you can discipline yourself, and you can gain control of your mind, and you can do all sorts of extraordinary things. I mean, you can drink water in through your rectum and do the most fantastic things. But that's just like being able to run the 100 yards in 9 seconds, or push a peanut up Mount Tamalpais with your nose, or any other kind of accomplishment you want to engage in. There's absolutely nothing to do with the realization of the self. The realization of the self fundamentally depends on coming off it. You know, the sort of, when we say to people who put on some kind of an act, and say, oh, come off it. And some people can come off it. They laugh and say, they suddenly realize, you know, they were making fools of themselves, and they laugh at themselves and they come off it. So in exactly the same way, the guru, the teacher, is trying to make you come off it. Now if he finds he can't make you come off it, he's going to put you through all these exercises so that you, at the last time, when you've got enough discipline and enough suffering and enough frustration, you'll give it all up and realize you were there for the beginning and there was nothing to realize. But the guru is very clever. He says, all right, if this is the way you have to go, this is the way you have to go. You asked for it. You came to me, I didn't invite you, you see, the guru says. You came to me and I said, I want to learn yoga. Well, he said, yoga is union. You're tattvamasi, you know, you're that. Well, no, you say, I'm sorry, I don't understand that because I only get it intellectually, I don't feel it. Oh, he says, you're one of those. So I see, I've got to satisfy you. The customer is always right. No, I've got to give you all this work to do. Because you can't see directly that this is so. But he's looking at you in a funny way, you see. The guru is always saying to you, you know, what are you doing? What's your game? Imagine, for example, a father confessor. And you feel terribly guilty that you've committed murders and robberies and adulteries and fornications and all kinds of arson and injury to people and financial shenanigans. And you go to this man and say, I am a terrible sinner. Oh, he says, really? He said, I have murdered somebody. He says, how many times? And you think, oh, good Lord, this man doesn't realize how awful I am. and you recite all these things, he's perfectly calm. And then you say to him, well, you don't seem to be very shocked. He said, you haven't confessed any serious sins. He said, what do you mean by a serious sin? Well, he said, what do you think? Well, I don't know. I just feel wrong. I just feel there's something in the basis of me that feels, that tells me that I am not what I ought to be. Could it be that I'm spiritually proud? That I'm egocentric? He says, no, that's not, it's very usual. This is quite ordinary sin. But he says, you are guilty of something. Something really terrible. And what could that be? Well, I have no idea. Now, he says, come on. Come on. Go deeper. What is the real sin you've committed? And you think, what, me? I, little me, could do something worse than murder, than worse than spiritual pride? Just little me? I mean, I'm a reasonably well-intentioned person. What could that be? And he looks at you in a funny way. He says, you know. You know, it's a kind of a Kafkaesque situation where you're accused of a crime that's not specified. And yet the accuser says, you jolly well know what you've done. Of course, we can't mention it. Because, it's like those laws that are on the books in the state of California and several other states where people are accused of the abominable crime against nature. Nobody knows what it is. I mean, it can't be mentioned. It's too dreadful to be talked about. So this guy does the same thing, but it's in a different dimension. You've done it. Now, what did you do? See, the real crime is that you won't admit you're God. That's false modesty. So the guru challenges, you see. He challenges you. If you raise the question, he doesn't go out and preach in the streets. Say, come on, everybody, you ought to be converted. He sits down under a tree and waits. And people start coming around, and they offer him propositions. He answers back. And he challenges you in any way that he thinks is appropriate to your situation.
I've been seeing your soul. Give me things that I wanted to know. Tell me things that you've done. I've been feeling old, I've been feeling cold. You're the heat that I know. Listen, you are my son. I said there's more to life than rush. Not gonna leave this place with us. Drop the game, it's not enough. Hush, I said there's more to life than rush. Not gonna leave this place with us. Drop the game, it's not enough. I've been seeing, oh, I've been seeing your soul. Give me things that I wanted to know. Tell me things that you've done. I've been feeling old, I've been feeling cold. You're the heat that I know. Listen, you are my son. Ooh.
Give me things that I wanted to know. Tell me things that you've done. I've been feeling old, I've been feeling cold. You're the heat that I know. Listen, you are my son.
Got a very important question. Not that these haven't been. I have 8 children.
You have our condolences.
Well, before I had any children, I had 8 theories about how to raise children. Now I have 8 children, no theories about how to raise children. But I have a daughter. Her name is Serena. And when she was 11. 10, 9, whatever years old, she used to always complain to me about my fathering, about my parenting, you know, giving me lots of advice about I do this wrong and I do that wrong. And after a while, I just got, you know, fed up with it one day, and I had been listening to some of the things that Abraham had said, and I said to her, I said, you know, if you don't like the kind of father that I am, the kind of parent that I am, then you shouldn't be blaming me. I said, you should really be taking a look at yourself and asking yourself, why in the world would you pick me to be your father? And she stood on her hands and put her hips on and, you know, rolled her eyes back, you know, that 10-year-old kind of look, and said, you're telling me that I actually picked you to be my father and picked mom to be my mom. I said, exactly right. I said, and when you're making important decisions like that, you should really be very careful about it.
Even more than that, you are right now evoking the kind of parent I am being. Your expectation is so powerful, I cannot override it. I could, but we seem to have rendezvoused on a vibrational spot that makes each of us want to blame the other for what's going on here.
So her final response to me, which was the best response I think I've ever heard from one of my kids, she said, well, then I must have been in a hurry.
And how he learned all about the things his mother and father do for him. This is Tommy's room. And he's thinking about his room. Can you guess what he's thinking? Look how neatly all of Tommy's clothes are hung in the closet. Yes, that's what Tommy's thinking about. How neat and straight his whole room is. Tommy's thinking hard, because he hasn't done a thing to his room since he left for school this morning. And when he left, the room didn't look like this at all. With toys on the shelves, bed neatly made, clothes put away. No, this morning it looked like this. Clothes scattered about, bed not made, toys on the floor. Yes, when Tommy went to school this morning, he left his room a mess. But now, everything is neat and straight. Now, how do you suppose that happens? And that's not all. Yesterday, Tommy tore the sleeve of his favorite cowboy shirt, and now it's mended as good as new. And this jacket had a button off. Now there's a new button. And you know, things of that sort don't happen just in Tommy's room. They happen all over the house. After breakfast this morning, the kitchen looked like this. Then do you know what happened while Tommy was in school? Yes, the table was cleared, the dishes were washed and put away, and the whole kitchen was cleaned up. The same thing happens with the dirty clothes. They get washed and ironed and put away just like magic. And the groceries that come from the stores. Well, see that chicken? Here's the way it looks when Tommy sits down to supper. Things certainly do happen while Tommy's in school. Just what did Mother do today? The first thing she did this morning was to fix up the kitchen. She cleared the table and washed the dishes and put the food away and made everything spick and span. Then she went up to Tommy's room to straighten it. There were train tracks and other toys to be picked up and put away. There was the bed to be made. There were clothes to be hung up. And some would need washing or mending. After that, Mother started on the ironing. Doing the family washing and ironing is a pretty hard job. But Mother does it regularly every week. And the cooking. Mother has to find time for good, nourishing meals for the whole family every day. She knows Tommy's appetite is getting bigger and bigger. Later, she did the mending. Well, there's Tommy's cowboy shirt and his jacket. Tommy could be more careful with his clothes. Those are just some of the things that Mother has to do. No wonder she's often tired at the end of the day. It seems Mother never stops working for the family.
You all appreciate it. When I was young, me and my mama had beef. 17 years old, kicked out on the streets. Though back at the time, I never thought I'd see a face. Ain't a woman alive that could take my mama's place. Suspended from school, I'm scared to go home. I was a fool with the big boys breaking all the rules. Shed tears with my baby sister. Over the years, we was poor than other little kids. And even though we had different daddies, the same drama when things went wrong, we blamed mama. I reminisce on the stress I caused. It was hell, hugging on my mama from a jail cell. And who thinking elementary? Hey, I see the penitentiary one day. Running from the police, that's right. Mama catch me, put a whooping to my backside. And even as a crack fiend, mama, you always was a black queen, mama. I finally understand, for a woman it ain't easy trying to raise a man. You always was committed, a poor single mother on welfare. Tell me how you did, there's no way I can pay you back. But the plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Baby, don't you know we love you, sweet.
Dear mama,
baby, place no one above you, sweet.
You all appreciate it.
You know we love you.
Now ain't nobody tell us it was fair. No love for my daddy, cause the coward wasn't there. He passed away and I didn't cry, cause my anger wouldn't let me feel for a stranger. They say I'm wrong and I'm heartless, but all along I was looking for a father, he was gone. I hung around with the thugs, and even though they sold drugs, they showed a young brother love. I moved out and started really hanging. I needed money of my own, so I started slanging. I ain't guilty, cause even though I sell rocks, it feels good putting money in your mailbox. I love paying rent when the rent's due. I hope you got the diamond necklace that I sent to you. Cause when I was low, you was there for me. You never left me alone because you cared for me. And I can see you coming home after work late. You're in the kitchen trying to fix us a hot plate.
just working with the scraps she was given. And mama made miracles every Thanksgiving. But now the road got rough, you're alone, trying to raise two bad kids on your own. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it. And dear mama,
place no one above you, sweet lady.
Well, appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you?
Pour out some liquor and I reminisce, cause through the drama I can always depend on my mama. And when it seems that I'm hopeless, you say the words that can get me back in focus. When I was sick as a little kid, to keep me happy there's no limit to the things you did. And all my childhood memories are full of all the sweet things you did for me. And even though I act crazy, I gotta thank the Lord that you made me. There are no words that can express how I feel. You never kept a secret, always stayed real. And I appreciate how you raised me and all the extra love that you gave me. I wish I could take the pain away. If you can make it through the night, there's a brighter day. Everything will be alright if you hold on. It's a struggle every day, gotta roll on. And there's no way I can pay you back, but my plan is to show you that I understand. You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet
dear
lady.
Mama,
place no one above you, sweet.
You all appreciate it.
Don't you know we love you, sweet
and dear mama.
And what about Father? What does he do all day? Well, he had a particularly hard job today. One would do. But he did it anyway. Because that's the way Father earns money, by doing the job. You see, it is the time he gives, the work he does, that he gets money for. And this is the money the family has to pay for the home and food, and give Tommy his allowance, too.
See, nobody give a fuck about daddy. There's some real daddies out there. I'm not talking about the guy that just fucked you and left. Okay? I'm talking about the real daddies. There's still some motherfuckers out there that handle their business. Motherfuckers want to act like brothers don't handle. There's some brothers that handle their business. But people don't give a fuck. But nobody give a fuck about daddy. Everybody take daddy for granted. Just listen to the radio. Everything's mama. Dear mama, I always love my mama. Mama, mama, mama. What's the daddy song? Papa was a rolling star. Nobody give up. Nobody appreciates daddy. Now mama got the roughest job. I ain't gonna front. But come on, at least people appreciate mama. That's right. Every time mama do something right, mama get a compliment. Because women need to hear compliments all the time. Women need food, water, and compliments. That's right. That's right. And an occasional pair of shoes. That's right. Women got to hear it all the time or they lose their mind. And your daddy, make sure you thank your mama for everything. Tell your mama how good the food is. Tell your mama how nice the house look. Tell your mama how nice her hair look. Did you tell your mama? Tell you better go in there and tell your mama. That's right. Tell your mama. Tell your mama. Tell your mama. Nobody ever tells daddy. I'm talking about the real daddy that handled the business. Nobody ever says, hey, daddy, thanks for knocking out this rent. Hey, daddy, I sure love this hot water. Hey, daddy, this is easy to read with all this light. Nobody give a fuck about daddy. I'm talking about daddy that handled his business. Nobody give a fuck about daddy. Think about everything that the real daddy does. Pay the bills, buy the food, put a roof over your head. Everything you could ever ask for. make your world a better, safer place. And what does daddy get for all his work? The big piece of chicken. That's all daddy gets. Is the big piece of chicken.
In a way, the money is father's work. At home, before supper, worked on the family budget. It isn't easy to figure out how best to spend the money, because there are always so many bills to pay, and so many things the family wants to buy. After supper, Father repaired a broken chair. Fixing things instead of buying new ones is a good way to save money.
Back when I was a child, before life removed all the innocence, my father would lift me high and dance with my mother and me, and then spin me around till I fell asleep. Then up the stairs he would carry me, and I knew for sure I was loved. If I could get another chance, another walk, another dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. How I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Ooh. When I and my mother would disagree, to get my way I would run from her to him. He'd make me laugh just to comfort me, yeah, yeah. Then finally make me do just what my mama said. Later that night when I was asleep, he left a dollar under my sheet. Never dreamed that he would be gone from me. If I could steal one final glance, one final step, one final dance with him, I'd play a song that would never, ever end. 'Cause I'd love, love, love to dance with my father again. Sometimes I'd listen outside her door, and I'd hear how my mother cried for him. I'd pray for her even more than me. I'd pray for her even more than me.
Yes, sir. Father and mother do a good job of working together. Like a team. They do so many things for the whole family. And that's something Tommy hadn't thought about before. A team. That's what a family is. A family is a team that works together. And Tommy would like to be on that team. He thinks it's something like a football team. Yes, Tommy likes to play on a team. And he knows that to have a good game, you must all work together. And every member of the team must do his share. Now Tommy wants to do his share for the family team. One thing, he can save his money, not ask Father for more. And so help the family buy more things they all want. And starting right now, he can help Mother by putting things away. Yes, from now on, things are going to be different with Tommy. After a week or so of trying, Tommy was really working on the team. When a piece of train track was broken, Tommy fixed it himself. So Father didn't have to fix it or spend money buying new track. Don't you think that's a good way to help your father and show him how much you appreciate all he does for you? And see how neat Tommy's room is. Tommy's gotten in the habit of picking things up and putting them away. And it makes him proud when Mother doesn't have to do any work in his room. Isn't that a good way to help your mother and show her how much you appreciate all she does for you? And Tommy has thought of other things he can do for his parents. It's really more fun than work when you know you're helping your mother and father. Wouldn't you like to do things for parents the way Tommy does? Then help to keep your room clean and neat. Keep your clothes on hangers. Try not to tear them or get them too dirty. Put things where they belong. Don't leave them on the floor when you're not using them. Help save money. Remember, someone has to work to earn it. Help your parents around the house. There are many jobs you can do that will make things easier for Father and Mother. Try to think up new ways you can help your family and ask your mother and father about them. They'll be glad that you want to do something that proves how much you love them and appreciate all the things they do for you. Your parents will appreciate your help, just as Tommy's father and mother do. And what's more, because Tommy has helped to save money, Mother and Father agree that he has earned a share of the money saved, a bigger allowance. That's mighty good. But what's better, Tommy knows he's a real member of his family team.
Are you a child of the free to be you and me generation? And are you in tune with the world around you? I am a child of the free to be you and me generation, and I am with you in being in tune. We shall bring change to this place. Listen to the whistle of the planet twirling through space, singing la 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 to the human race. I believe I am the flower of life, the earth, and the ocean. Oh, oh. I believe I feel the power of light vibrate all around. children of the one great spirit. Oh, oh, are you a child of the free to be you and me generation? And are you confused with the world around you? I am a child of the free to be you and me generation, and I am with you and being confused. Children, children, can you hear it? Listen to the riddle and the melody by Great Spirit. Singing la 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 la, there's nothing to it. I believe I am the flower of life, the air, and the sunshine. Oh, oh. I believe I am the power of light, the motive for the universe. Oh, oh. I believe you are the children of the one, Mother Earth. Oh, oh.
Here's what we know. Yes, you did. You do. You choose everything about your entry into your physical experience. But you don't choose it in the way as humans you think you're choosing, because as humans, you think you choose by saying, I do want that and I don't want that, and I do want that and I don't want that. As humans, you think choice is about yes and no. But as source energy, choice is always about yes, 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 yes. In other words, once you get into your physical experience, many of you second guess, I'm sure I would not have chosen these parents. I'm sure I would not have chosen these parents because it's hard to be here. But then what did we just say? You wanted contrast because contrast causes expansion. So from your non-physical perspective, you said, what could be better than an early contentious experience which would cause me early expansion? But once you get here, you say, what went wrong? No one in their right mind would have chosen these parents. And so then you say, clearly, I didn't choose this because I wouldn't have chosen this. So people choose cancer. Don't you find that interesting? People choose cancer. People choose illness. People choose bankruptcy. People choose horrible relationships. And yet people would say, oh, Abraham, that doesn't make sense. Nobody would choose those unwanted things. And we say, we didn't say you looked at them and said yes to them. We said you looked at them. Because whether you're looking at it and saying yes or looking at it and saying no, you're still choosing it. You choose what you make active in your vibration. What you make active in your vibration must come to you, you see. But we want you to understand, this is something so big, and this is the perfect time to say it. The contrast is causing you to do all of your choosing. But then when you hold yourself in vibrational separation from what you've chosen, you live the absence of what you were really choosing. And then you say, why would I have chosen this? And we say, it's your weakness of not being in alignment with what you really chose that causes you to live the absence of what you really chose. You with us? This is the same subject as there is no dark switch. You don't walk into a room and look for a dark switch. There's only the light, which you can resist. There is no evil. There is no badness. There's just disallowance of the goodness. There's just disallowance of who you really are and what you really have chosen. So when it feels like you're making bad choices, we would like to say, and we would like you to say it and remember it and repeat it until you really know it. It isn't that I'm making bad choices. It's that I'm not in alignment with the good choices that are really who I am. We know it sounds like nitpicking, but if you could get inside of that idea, what would happen to you as you begin recognizing this is that you would begin to realize this powerful premise that is so absolute. If there were one thing that we could open your being up and surgically insert, it would be this. We can't, so don't worry about it. A little prick you just felt on your back, that wasn't us. That wasn't us. It would be this. Well-being abounds, and things are always working out for you. Things are always working out for you. And to the degree that you allow it, you see the evidence of it. Things are always working out for you.
This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light of mine, I'm gonna let it shine. This little light.
Justice Louis Brandeis once said, sunlight is the greatest disinfectant.
I got a little chance to take everybody in the household on a little family vacay. That was a good time. Oh, yeah. Right? What we did is we had this van. I rented this van, and every seat of this van had as much electronics as humanly possible. Right? Everything had, like, a DVD player, video games hooked up to it. I'm like, nobody in the entire van has to talk to anybody. Right? It's going to be awesome. I shouldn't hear any kind of fights at all, right? Woohoo. We are about an hour into the trip, and my stepdaughter goes, I'm bored. I'm like, what? How are you bored? We have all this technology. I've seen all the movies. I'm just bored. I'm like, bored? How about I rip out all the technology, and we play the alphabet game for the rest of the trip? I will show you a level of boredom you've never reached in your entire life. I might be aging myself, but I used to be so bored with my dad, I would take the seatbelt and pretend it was a CB. Breaker, breaker, 1-9, we got a big 10, 20, 40, we got a bubblegum pop, blah, 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 blah. Right? And while we're driving, little Yuki, who's like 5, right? She's 5, and she's like, my butt hurts. And she wanted to tell me her butt hurts for the next, like, hour and a half, right? I'm like, how can your butt hurt, right? You got this plush seat that has like a little lumbar massager on it and stuff. You want to talk about butt hurt? Why don't you try to do the Michigan to Florida run in the backseat middle hump suck seat? You guys remember that bullshit seat? There wasn't even a seatbelt there. It was just a hump. And hey, 19-year-old kid, you won't even believe this, right? pre-brake light, okay? There used to be a shelf in the back of your car. Now you get a ticket if you talk on your cell phone. Where were the tickets being handed out when my dad let me climb up into the back part of the car? Yeah, this seat's awesome. Look at all the dead bees up here. It's like the bug museum. This is awesome. Hey, we got the front seat armrest open. Who wants to stand on that? I do, please, can I? Now you get tickets if you smoke in the car with your kid. Hey, where was that rule about 38 years ago? I love that. As all the windows rolled up, both parents smoking. I love smoking, so do I. Pall Mall No Filter is the best, isn't it? Luckily, there's been no studies done on the harmful effects of cigarettes. I know. Probably makes our kids smarter, don't you think? Probably. Hey, can you take John to the dentist to get mercury shot up into his teeth? Yeah. Can you drop the rest of the kids off at the Asbestos Elementary School? Would love to. Kids today, a boo-hoo, there's some lead in my toy. A boo-hoo. Wussies. Why don't you ride your bike with your helmet? That's so lame. I would like to see stats done of head injuries that kids, because I think it's one big bullshit thing to sell helmets. Because I know every kid I rolled with, when we tried to kill ourselves. And not one kid cracked their head open. Not one. I can't even think of one kid. Every kid should feel the joy of riding a bike, right? Riding your bike, and as you're riding, your jeans get caught in the chain, causing the handlebars to come at you at about 40 miles an hour, take it into the side, and then that thing slams you to the ground, and you get up with that really, you're like, I can't breathe. And you can't even walk away from your bike because you're still attached to the stupid chain. You're like, I can't breathe. I can't breathe. People, my parents used to let us melt plastic in the oven. That was our game. I don't know, did you have that 19-year-old kid? Right? We got shrinky dinks, which meant shrinky dinks. Right? Shrinky dinks would start off this big. You put it on a cookie sheet, you'd melt it down to this big. Where'd those toxins go? I don't know. Probably on the cookie sheet your mom's about to make Rice Krispie treats with. The worst stuff was that stuff that came in that tube, that like weird-ass bubble stuff. I don't even name the bubble. It smelled like paint thinner or whatever, and you like, you'd squeeze out that big ball of chemical. It's like you squeeze out a big ball of meth, and then you stick that at the bottom of a straw, and you're like. John, you're not grounded anymore. You can come out of your room. Hold on, man. My hermit crab's talking to me right now.
Do you like being a participant in the watering can of the flowers of freedom throughout the world?
I do it for the joy. It brings, 'cause I am a joyful girl, 'cause the world owes me nothing. We owe each other the world, and I do it 'cause it's the least I can do. I do it 'cause I learned it from you, and I do it just because I want to. 'Cause I want to. Everything I do is judged, and they mostly get it wrong. But oh well. The bathroom mirror has not budged, and the woman who lives there
truth from the stuff that they say. She looks me in the eye. So you prefer the easy way? No, well, okay then. Don't cry.
Now, go find the others.com.
No.
Yep.
You are hilarious. You mac and cheese. You're a good looking son of a bitch. You're a real broad lover. You're ham and eggs. And you're a grazer. So be sure to keep it Christmas.